Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well then, Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty, gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials. So stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Hey, Danger Dangers here with a special Halloween announcement. Part 1 of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast, loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host / Crypt Keeper.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I play Imhotep the Mummy, our cleric. And last session, we did some talking. I was able to technically meet the conditions to get Fearn and Belial off my back, which means I am done with hell. Oh my god, guys.
Yay! I'm
done with hell.
Well, almost.
I say this knowing full well, I'm not done with hell.
Yeah, done with hell, asterisk.
So let me rephrase. Imhotep is currently done with all of his hell stuff. I say this knowing full well, Dan is going to find some way to bring hell back up in this game. Somehow.
Oh, you're not done with all your hell stuff.
He's gotta...
You have a nice toasty coin in your pocket, my dude.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, you still got to deal with Mammon to make good on.
I hate this. And we met a new person who is going to be super helpful, super nice, super wonderful. Because all of our guest player characters go super great and awesome and well for us.
Statistically speaking, more often than not.
Yours did.
Yeah, I know. Mine actually did.
Hello, I'm Grayson. I play Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, or not so Invisible Man at the moment. But last session, Jack asked Imhotep for a little bit of help, and Imhotep got to play Surgeon. And I got a sample of something that I needed desperately. And after that, because of the surgery going so well, Jack basically just got drunk and then played Spider-Man.
That's right.
After that, he was able to get like one last question with Grimhilda and kind of got a little bit more clues in order to put together the one thing that he was focused on for a good majority of all his research. So he's a little bit closer to solving what it was and then hopefully reverse engineering it as well. But other than that, we ran into London and we got our grand reveal, which I'm so excited to discuss.
Yep, we got another grand reveal of which I am rapidly running out of.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron. I play the Phantom of the Opera, our bard. Last week, I made a minor attempt to set Christine's voice free, but how effective I thought it was going to be, I feel like, is up for debate. But I got a sick sword out of it.
Oh, super shit. Excited.
Hell it uses yeah. My spellcasting modifier so I can hit things, maybe. That's pretty cool. That's pretty exciting. Now we have bumped into the producer of probably my favorite purchasable item. I'm genuinely excited.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ben Magnet. I play Mary Frankenstein, our barbarian paladin. And last time, I had a feelings talk with Larry.
Yeah.
Because Mary's afraid that Larry's going to do something very, very dumb. And he just wants to make sure that Larry doesn't do dumb stuff. But if he does do dumb stuff, to make sure we know about it so we can, you know, help him get his ass out of the fire. Because, you know, that happens a lot. And other than that, we saw Dracula again. So that was like nice. Mary wanted to flip him off really, really hard. And then we see another guy just out of friggin' nowhere, just flaunting himself, just about, you know, like, oh, look at me, I'm so cool.
just like that.
Let's just say that after the horrible fight that Mary and Ben had with the witches a few games ago, I want to beat the living crap out of something. And I found my new toy.
Oh, no.
That's ominous.
Sorry, Bob.
Hi, I'm Jordan. I play Larry Talbot, the lycanthropic warlock. And last time, we cleared the air about Renfield and the Locket. I had a nice heart-to-heart with Mary. Saw Jack drunkenly do surgery on himself, so that was fun. Then went and chased Jack around the woods. Then we decided to make our way towards London, going through some pretty ominous, swirling, twisting roads. Luckily, we had the help of Renfield to get us through it all. Once we arrived in London, it was very oppressive of just this like thick cloud of smog and soot overhead. And then we see a Dracula, of all people, giving another enchanting speech to all of his followers. And introducing our next friend, which I'm very excited to see what our deal with him's gonna be, because right now, I don't know.
I mean, we're 2-for-1 on turning our guests into actual friends, so maybe
100% friendship is on the table.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Just don't try and buy one of the party members, like somebody, and I think we'll get off on a good fight.
I've got a burn for that, but I don't know if I want to come in spicy. That's
Do it.
Because then it will be on site. It will be on site.
Well, however you want to come in, new friend.
Yes.
Hi, everyone. I'm Fob, and I will be playing Dr. Henry Jekyll and Mr. Edward Hyde. I am so excited to be playing with you all. I am here to test the intellect of one of our lovely players, shall we say.
Larry?
Of course.
Definitely. 100%.
I got a solid C in my multiplication tables. Let's go.
I mean, come on. You got to pass something. You fail PE.
Hey, man.
All right. And with that, let's start testing.
Everyone, get out your blue notebooks.
No!
Jordan, card of the day.
Card of the day. Okay, so I think flavor-wise, I'm going to do Judgment because I can cast Detect Good and Evil at will without expending a spell slot, and I like that flavor-wise because of the musical and our new friend. And extra bonus, on hitting a creature that you've seen with Detect Good and Evil, you can expend a spell slot to deal 1d10 extra damage. So I don't know how useful that's going to be, but, you know, sometimes you just got to pick for flavor.
Jordan, why ever would you need to detect good and evil on me?
Yeah, you can tell from the way he's talking that he's evil.
Oh, no.
My evil sense is tingling.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, picking up where we left off last time, you guys are still in the middle of the London city streets. You have just passed by the makeshift podium where Dracula was addressing the group and made off with monetary tribute, as well as seeing the scientific demonstration of Dr. Henry Jekyll with what they are calling the Knights of Dracul.
And if I remember correctly, they were able to turn invisible, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Jekyll had demonstrated his new discovery.
First of its kind.
How did they do it? Was it a solution or was it something else?
It is the same as your temporary invisibility potions.
Okay. So I would say as he sees that, Jack would be tensing up at the moment, and then once he sees that process kind of go down in the form of his temporary version, he kind of like visibly relaxes, and then his grip kind of loosens on the window frame of the carriage.
Everything all right over there, Jack? Weirdly, I can actually see you freaking out now.
I don't think we really have too much to worry about. It doesn't seem like he actually figured anything out.
If you say so.
Well, should we go and see what he does know? Do we know where he went?
I wasn't watching, sorry. I could see Jack flinching, and that was wild and new, so I fully did not watch.
I mean, I would assume that you've seen me flinch while I've got my clothes on.
I wasn't looking at you before.
Oh. All right.
That's a little harsh, don't you think?
You're right. Sorry, Jack.
Okay, I'm just making this worse. I'm willing to bet that no one here knows who he is, correct?
Phantom's hurriedly putting like three empty vials that say like Dr. Jekyll's amazing, you know, alchemical solution into his like back pocket.
I'm gonna fish out the Jekyll juice that I have.
Shit. I gave it to him. Fuck.
Yeah. I don't know him personally. I've heard of him. And this solution is part of his failed works. So he's got, I'll admit, a mind for sales, at least, for the failures that he's done. But, I mean, he's trying to grasp on something that he has no idea where to start.
I mean, he's working for Dracula, so that's like strike one, two, and three. I look over the jacket, he's like, that's the phrase, right? Strike one, two, and three.
Yeah, for bowling, I think.
You're close. Well, I don't know if I told you guys this, but the offer to work for Dracula was offered to me.
What?
And I turned it down.
Oh, thank God.
So you believe that this Dr. Jekyll accepted the offer?
Clearly. If Dracula made his grand showcasing and Jekyll basically showed up on that little podium and wanted to do a display that would wow the crowd and hopefully gain favor with everyone, assuming that he's as smart as he assumes.
I remember when we were talking to Renfield, he mentioned that there was a lab here in London that might have some of the answers you're looking for. Is that something that you still want to check out?
If we can get in there unannounced, that'd probably be best. But I assume the process that I would like to tamper with is going to take some time. So,
do we have to sneak in, Jack? I've only known one doctor in my time, and Phantom puts his hand on your shoulder, and he's a pretty remarkable man. A little bigoted, but remarkable.
Thank you. I mean, besides the bigoted part,
you do not treat vampires very well, my friend. Dig deeper.
Brand spanking new to this world, and so far my interaction with most vampires besides Carmilla has not been the greatest.
And Marlo.
But, well, yeah, that's true.
Well, Marlo's 50-50.
Yeah, but Marlo did come in handy when it came against Dorian.
I feel like we're losing the thread.
That's true. Okay.
Do you think we could talk to him?
I was going to say.
Sure, let's go talk to the doctor.
As this discussion is happening, a slight chill comes over the amulet again, and the spirit of Renfield chimes in.
Can I say that, like, Imhotep has, like, had it, like, in the pocket or something, and it starts going, comfortable, oh, don't like that, pulls it out. don't like that, oh, don't know what's called, oh, it's you. And then he pulls it out, like, holds it in the air.
Yeah, he gets a little frosty.
Ugh, you could have given me some heads up about that.
I'm sorry.
That was the heads up about that.
You know, you're not wrong.
Now, I just want everyone to remember to keep your mind's focused on the primary target. The coffin of Dracula will be in there. I overheard some of your conversations, and yes, Dr. Jekyll does have a laboratory within the clock tower. That is something to be mindful of, but that is not the focal point of what we are doing here. So just remember to keep your eyes on target. Also, brace yourselves because we will need to go through Parliament to get into the clock tower.
Parliament?
So what you're saying is smash box that we could go smash lab. Got it.
Also, I don't think we need all of us to smash a box or a coffin.
I could smash the box.
Exactly. We could send...
If you haven't noticed, guys, I have a lot of anger that's built up right now. I was not very good during that last fight. I want to break something, and I would really, really like it if I could break something sooner rather than later.
Yeah, do we want to divide and conquer? It might be easier to sneak around in smaller
groups.
Also,
if anyone has calm emotions, that'd be great.
Don't waste a spell slot. Let me be violent.
You know, Imhotep's gonna put his hand on Mary's shoulder and just be like, Mary, I understand and appreciate that you want to smash things. I would also like to cause a little bit of damage if it means throwing Dracula's game out. But it is a time and a place, and right now is not the time or the place. Give it like 2 hours and maybe looks out the window 10 miles that way. That'll be the time and the place.
All right. Hey, you want to come with me to smash the box?
Oh, I absolutely want to go with you to smash the box.
Hell yeah.
You all smashed the first box with somebody that was not me. I want to be there to smash the rest of the boxes.
That's true. That's
fair. Yeah, you deserve some box, man. Anyone else want to come with us to smash a box?
I blame that man for me going through hell, literally and figuratively. I want to smash his boxes.
I will leave you all to strategize. I just wanted to make sure that your focus was in the right place. And it's about as much as I could expect.
We're trying, okay?
We're working on it, ready, chill.
I don't like that. That feels weird.
Too bad, stick.
And then he's gone.
We'll find a nickname for you yet.
I will go with whichever group will find me the most useful.
Oh.
If you act surprised every time I do something nice, it's going to be really hard to keep doing.
Dog. Larry immediately, like, looks out the window.
Oh, however it is, just be careful.
So with that, as you are looking out the window and making your way through the London streets, it's a little bit disorienting with the way that the sky is blocked out, but it also seems as though distance and perspective is getting warped and twisted along the way. The carriage does maneuver its way into the courtyard of Parliament, and it seems to be in recess right now. There are several parliamentary figures that are out and about in the courtyard that are conversing amongst themselves, and there's a couple of security guards at the front entrance of the building. You have not left the carriage, so I will leave it up to you all how you want to proceed.
Okay, this is gonna sound really weird, but does anyone know of any sort of ailment that we could just say that I have that they maybe won't look at me a second time while I'm wearing this and I pull out the mask?
Asking about diseases, we could say leprosy and then pop off a pinky.
My question with saying he's got leprosy is, would they allow us in the building for, like, don't mind us?
There's a lab.
Oh!
Wait, what'd you say?
There's a lab inside there.
Oh.
So if we say he's an experiment...
If we're exactly. Looking for a cure...
Yeah.
I'm gonna have everybody roll perception.
No! Don't make me do okay. That.
Aye. I hope this is important, because it's a nat 20!
Hell yeah, Larry. Ooh, hell yeah.
I rolled a 12, but with my plus 5, that is a 17.
Very nice. With my plus 5, that's a 7.
Oh, no!
Yes!
Phantom, you don't notice this. Everyone else had great rolls, so you all will notice. Still, no one is approaching you. Larry, with your nat 20, with your special wolf ears,
yeah!
You can faintly overhear a nearby conversation as all of these parliamentary members seem to be in a bit of a fugue state. They are focused primarily on each other. Focused is a strong word. They are in almost a trance-like state.
Oh, I think I get
looping it. Looping the same conversations over and over again. saying variations on.
Yes, I agree with the new measures.
I concur.
Rubber stamping anything Dracula proposes is an automatic yes from me.
Dracula proposes is an automatic yes from me.
Watermelon, watermelon, peas and carrots, watermelon.
Variations on that as they, in this trance-like fugue state, seem largely oblivious to the world around them.
Imhotep pops out of the wagon and just stands there in full beef jerky grossness and just looks around at everybody.
Roll stealth at disadvantage.
Good.
I was going to say the guards are probably...
Dan, either way, the roll is a 22.
Whoa.
Because both of them came up 19. I've only rolled 19 so far out of three rolls. They've all been 19.
Heck yeah, dude.
So as you step out of the carriage, the parliament members have not noticed you. You are obscured enough by the fog and the soot that as the guards look your direction, they can't clearly make you out, but they still see your silhouette and kind of point in your general direction and kind of shout across the courtyard, "You over there! State your business!"
Quickly leans back into the carriage. "What do I see? Is that business?"
"I don't know. We didn't get that far. You jumped out."
You're taking me to the lab. I'm an experiment. I'm someone to be experimented on."
"We have an experiment for Dr. Jekyll."
"He's got leprosy."
Roll either persuasion, performance, or deception with advantage.
Oh, thank God with advantage. It's the first time I didn't roll a 19. Oh.
DC 19.
What? 22 total.
"All right, go ahead and send your men inside. You just missed the previous batch."
"Oh, previous batch.
I don't want to know what that means. Thank you." And he hops back into the carriage.
And they both step aside and signal into the door. You will still have to walk past them, but...
Yes, but they never saw me, so now we can have the normal people step out and I just look like an experiment. I can just look like a corpse. No, I can't anymore. I don't look like a corpse as much anymore.
We just got two leprosy boys back here.
You know what? D is going to do that. He's going to use his wrappings and wrap himself up even more to look like a gross, disheveled... To look more like a mummy. To look more like a classic mummy with, like, the gross bandages falling off and you can see bits and pieces. And he is going full-on mummy horror just to really sell the whole leprosy thing.
Excellent.
I'm, like, next to him, my mask on, my clothes huddled. I'm like, because of my large size, I'm like, "Everything hurts. I'm in so much pain."
Yeah, what he said. All the pain. Ooh, ouch. All the aching joints.
Jack will get out and pull down his like doctor mask.
Fitting.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Okay, so as you begin to make your way up to the entrance of the parliament building and the guards are standing on either side, they look away as you are really upselling the disease and injury.
"Oh, life sucks so bad." "I'm so hideous. Look away or be cursed."
"Hey, cursing people is my thing."
And the rest of us had to ride in with
him. Yeah.
"I'm not trying to curse them. It's just too bad."
You guys are selling it way too hard.
They will squint their eyes a little bit in suspicion and start to check their notes to cross-reference with wanted posters.
Hail.
Everyone roll a collective group stealth.
Oh,
damn
it. Here we go.
If 3 out of 5 of you, stealth or performance, whichever is higher for you.
Bless.
If 3 out of 5 of you get above a 16, then the group collectively makes it.
No!
13.
Okay, I have a 16.
I got a 2.
I got a 21.
Okay. Aaron.
18.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, woo! I still only rolled a 10.
But we'll take it.
So that is 3 out of 5 of you.
Yeah.
They're going to be too preoccupied with stepping away from what seems like leprosy.
Can I do an extra gross thing just to sell it? Just for the flavor of it?
Depends on what the extra gross thing is.
Since we've established that, look at us and you become cursed, that the bandages, that he has the bandages slowly reach out towards them as they're walking.
The guard that you brush up against is going to shudder and really quickly doff whatever piece of armor that your bandages brush across and kick it quickly to the side.
The urge to do the whole mask drop into his arms and start coughing bit just for funsies.
We gotta get inside! We gotta get inside!
Imhotep, diseases are not actually magical anymore. I don't know what it was like in Egypt, but we can't control bandages when we're sick.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it sucks.
Diseases aren't just caused by the curses of your enemies?
No, it's like some weird science. It's all Jack's fault now, I think. I don't know.
He looks at Jack. Jack, is this true?
Yes, there's...
I can't just write on a piece of papyrus John from down the street stole one of my donkeys. I cursed him with leprosy. I can't just do that anymore.
Hold on.
This is not how that works.
I don't know why, but that whole statement just kind of threw me off because you guys had a John back in ancient Egypt.
You know what I'm talking about. I've been in your country long enough that I know that you're not going to pronounce the names of my people.
And as you're shouting this down the halls of Parliament, the parliamentary figures that are lining and adorning the halls similarly are not paying much attention to you. Your words seem to brush past them, and any that are near enough to register it stir briefly, but don't give them much mind as they return back into their trance-like state, repeating variations on,
yes, I agree with Dracula's new proposals.
I agree that this with is a all of the anything new proposals. Dracula proposes.
We should say yes to all of the new measures.
I concur. On loop.
This might be a bad idea, but can I get kind of close to one of these guys and sort of wave my hands in front of their face?
I'm gonna be honest, that's what I was trying to do outside.
Larry, are these all, like, in the same state as the other ones?
It seems like it. They're all playing the same words over and over.
Roll insight.
Oh, sweet. Insight's my good one. That's a 16.
With a 16, as you kind of wave your hand in front of their faces, they blink slowly and acknowledge the interruption, but they don't linger on it and quickly return back to their trance.
What do you think's up with these guys? They're almost here, but not quite.
Dracula. He's got them all convinced that he's got all the right ideas, so... Remember that charm spell that Marlo would do when we were in the nest way back when?
I do.
Yeah, it's it's roughly the same thing, but I want to say it's affecting their judgment even more so.
Mm. Hey, do you know what they meant by the last batch, or do you have any guesses? That's something that was a little weird that the guard said as we entered in here. Just
there's procedures when it comes to science experiments, and you start with the paperwork, of course, first, and then eventually you get to human trials. But there's a lot of stringent restrictions that you have to stick to in order to let everyone know that when you move to human trials, the humans will not become expendable. Because every life is supposed to be sacred.
Boy, you sure sound convincing.
You said that with a little bit of a sting, but I do have to ask, what do you think Dracula needs experiments for?
If it's got to do with his, what was it, Knights of Dracul, he might be enhancing them somehow.
Right.
And I think if you're willing to do human trials, you should be willing to do it on yourself, not endanger the life of other people. But with them easily grabbing anybody and everybody that they could just simply round up, it sounds like none of these restrictions are being kept.
Right.
And a bell rings out, signaling all of the parliamentary members back into session. And you can see them kind of all simultaneously stop their conversations. They form up in a small cluster and, in an organized fashion, make their way down the hall back into the meeting chambers. And they all do not make eye contact with you. If they do look in your direction, they look right past you.
Well, unless we have any other plans, I think I'm going to stick my ear to the door that they just walked through and use my supersonic dog hearing to see what I hear.
You hear faintly muffled through the doors the procession's resuming for them to vote on new measures. And it is a lot of loosening of industry restrictions. Basically, anything that would stop the factories from moving full steam ahead, allowing everything that Dracula is doing to essentially terraform London to happen unimpeded.
Yikes, okay.
Jack will be looking on the floor for, like, scrape marks for, like, gurneys. Looking for, like, track marks to see if they're doing experiments, then they might be wheeling in bodies or people that can't necessarily fight back, or maybe they're unconscious.
Trying to find, like, a trail to the lab or to wherever the patients go? Yeah, so that way we're not
super obvious that we don't know where to go.
As you are looking through the floor, there is enough traffic that passes through Parliament in all directions on a regular basis that there's nothing that immediately jumps out to you. In the center of this little bout of hallways that you are in, there is a directory where there is a receptionist that, like how the Parliament members were looking past you and through you, this person behind the desk similarly is looking past and through you as you are making a commotion and as you are looking around. And without stirring from the blank stare, vacant expression, says, "Can I help you find something?"
Point us in the direction of the lab.
And there's a brief moment of confusion before the face goes blank again and says, "We have no laboratory within Parliament. Are you looking for something specific?"
"I would like to talk to a person."
"Are you trying to find
any..." "No."
"Are you trying to find..."
"No."
"Any... Are you trying to find
a
any..."
"A person."
"Press 1 to speak to a representative."
The receptionist slowly blinks and says, "Are you trying to find any room specifically?"
"The entrance to Big Ben."
"Ah, that would be right down this hallway."
"Because there's no lab of Big Ben, they can't possibly say it isn't real."
Again, without really changing expression and just kind of placidly gesturing off to the side.
Can I do a quick pickpocket?
Roll sleight of hand.
Yay.
You find pictures of their family and loved ones.
I'll sell it somehow.
God, Jack's the one who starts the dark web.
Oh no!
That's going to be a 20.
You find 5 gold.
Hell yeah, I'm not poor anymore.
Phantom walks back up to the party. You can see that many of the Union Jacks around the place have been replaced with the French flag. And he's like, "All right, so what did we discover, everyone?"
"Apparently France is taking over."
"You bet it is."
And the receptionist will snap over to you, get very animated all of a sudden, and say, "Like hell they are!"
"That's the cure!"
Georgette just kind of stops, turns around, and stares.
They will then robotically run to each of the flags and replace them back with Union Jacks before returning to the desk, getting that kind of placid look over their face again as they say, "Visiting hours are currently over for Big Ben. But if you would like to return in the morning, you can get a tour."
"This is an over-limey. Viva la France!"
And then again, momentarily, the receptionist will snap out of it.
"Damn.
In Queen Victoria's name, we will not have that kind of language in the halls of Parliament."
"By the Queen!"
"Eric, you found the cure. Eric, do you know what you've done?"
It was all just a little bit of bant, I think.
"Yeah, you found the cure to the vampire hypnotism. It's appealing to their racism."
"Oh my god." I was going to say appealing to their patriotism, but yes, I think, yeah.
Sure.
That's so good.
And then the receptionist will return back to their trance as they slowly adjust on their desk, side by side, framed pictures of Count Dracula and Queen Victoria.
Oh my god.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, I think we should just carry on.
I agree.
Oh man. I keep getting like nervous every time.
All right. So now, Grayson, are you ready for your arc as I present to you your most nefarious enemy yet, your greatest challenge, the thing that will put your character to the test more than anything else, stairs.
Oh, no.
Your old enemy.
Stairs.
Brilliant.
God damn it.
Just the straight up of Big Ben.
Mary takes his mask off, looks up, looks over at Jack, just gently pats him on the back, and is like, good luck, buddy. And I looked over to Imhotep. I was like, so Imhotep, you think a basement, right?
There's a basement here?
Everyone roll perception.
Ooh! Dirty 20.
It's an 8 for me.
21.
Ooh.
I'm just playing to my character. I rolled a 7.
You're just staring at the steps.
Yeah, just haunting memories going through.
Just staring.
And I'm just like, no, that's no way. More steps. Way too many steps. Fuck, I hate steps.
Buns of steel.
All right, so who rolled above an 18?
I did.
Oh. Not I.
So Phantom and Mary, as everyone else is staring up at this spiral staircase in this otherwise pretty empty room that cavernously stretches up above you very far, the two of you will notice that there is a slight bit of discoloration in the floorboards off in the back corner of this ground floor.
Oh, hello.
Oh.
If you were to look into it, you would see that there are some newly placed floorboards that are covering up a small hatch if you were to shift them out of the way. The floorboards are not fastened down. The hatch is.
Mary, do you remember the first night we met?
I do, yes.
I think that we did a little bit of fun renovation, and I think it would be nice to relive that experience.
You know what, Eric? That sounds like a fantastic time to me. And I do my best to rip the hatch open.
Roll strength, DC 24.
Oh, Nelly.
Wait, DC 24? Even if I roll a nat 20, I wouldn't be able to get it.
A nat 20 would still do it.
Oh, Mary. And then a flower lands in your hand. A flower that I believe is going to be another D10. Hold on.
Ooh, oh. Tasty.
At this level, that sounds about right.
You guys are level 10, right?
Yeah. It is a D10.
So yeah, you can tack on Bardic Inspiration for that.
Bardic! All right, we'll see if I need it first. Yeah, that was a 6.
So with the 10...
I don't even think the Bardic Inspiration is going to help. Shit.
The Bardic Inspiration would not put you over.
No. Damn it all.
Might as well keep it for later.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold on to that for later.
Put the flower behind your ear.
You know what? Yeah, Mary does.
Eee, cute!
Mary.
Yeah?
Lift with your back in a twisting, jerking fashion.
No!
Okay, Jack, I know I'm not the science guy, but that does not sound like a good idea.
And Imhotep, you will feel a sharp chill coming from your inventory.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Pulls Renfield out.
Everyone do your best to avoid detection. I can sense the presence of the masters within this clock tower.
Mm-hmm.
Clenched.
Noted.
Now, I previously have had some influence and dominion over this place. There is a release lever a few floors up, but it might be best to avoid detection. I can go off and flick that lever for you. I understand that you might not exactly trust me to go unattended, but it would be unwise for any of you to go along should you be spotted.
Question, Renfield. You said you can sense him. Would he be able to sense you?
As far as he is still aware, I am dead.
Noted. Okay.
I have a compromise. If you would be willing to let me go ahead, find the lever, and open the hatch for you, you do not have to trust me to be unattended. I can give you the means to see what I see and hear what I hear, so you can still keep me monitored the entire time I am away from you. You do not have to trust my judgment. You merely have to trust your own eyes and ears.
He looks to Larry. You're the one who had him the longest. What do you think?
You know, he's gotten us this far. I'm willing to trust him. But we're going to make decisions as a team now, so... But that's my input.
If you have an expendable object with which to view from, I can enchant it to make it a scrying surface. And then everything that you see and hear from that object will be an area of effect within 10 feet of my own ethereal person.
Oddly specific, as if it is being read out of a book of effects.
Scrying. You can see and hear a particular creature you choose on the same plane of existence as you. The target must make a wisdom saving throw, which is modified by how well you know them. They can choose to fail the saving throw voluntarily if they want to be observed. On a failure, the spell creates an invisible sensor within 10 feet of the target. You can see and hear through the sensor as though you were there personally. The sensor moves with the target, remaining within 10 feet for the duration.
Ooh, I have an idea for an object. Dan, I think we've talked about before as like a fun game of like what characters are represented by who on the tarot cards. Can I use the magician card to scry for Renfield?
I love that. Yes, absolutely.
Yes! <Ta-da>.
The tarot card, the magician, will start to animate and turn into a small handheld screen.
Brilliant.
Depending on the size of the tarot deck, most of them are about the size of the standard smartphone.
Heck yeah.
As the image slowly animates over and turns into a POV camera.
Sick.
I think if you turn it on its side, maybe we can get like a wider view.
Yeah, I'll turn it sideways for landscape.
Yeah, it orients to landscape.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
All right, give me just one moment.
As you do that, hey, the magician is interpreted with energy, potential, and the manifestation of one's desires. The card symbolizes the meeting of the physical and spiritual worlds, as above, so below, and the conduit of converting spiritual energy into real-world action. Very cool.
Oh.
He stands with one arm stretched upwards towards the universe and the other pointing down to the earth. His positioning represents the connection between the spiritual realms and the material realms. The magician uses his relationship to create and manifest his goals into the physical realm. He is a conduit that converts energy into matter. The magician's robe is white, symbolizing purity, and his cloak is red, representing the worldly experience. And he has all the symbols of the tarot in front of him. Wands, pentacles, cups, swords. He is card number one.
So the spirit of Renfield will emerge from the amulet, and through like CCTV footage, you see, not CCTV footage, like a GoPro.
Okay.
Awesome.
You see and hear exactly what he is looking at and listening to. He will hold a finger up to his lips. Remember to call as little attention to yourselves as possible.
Understood, but if you need help, you let us know.
And there's a slight feedback loop.
Stop moving, stop moving, stop, no, leave.
And he is going to begin to float up the tower.
If you need help with anything, give us a sign. We're working as a team.
Thank God I don't have to go up those stairs.
A blessing. See? What an ally.
What a guy. So helpful.
What a guy. We defeated your number one enemy.
Now we can move on to the next plot point.
As the spirit of Renfield makes his way up the tower.
Oh, God. Oh, joy.
Through to a floor of the clock tower near the center that is a makeshift laboratory. You start to hear slowly coming in through the GoPro footage. Tell me, Doctor, are the modifications finished? I am quickly running out of time. I need to know that you have been successful. Is
the flesh golem ready.
What?
Huh?
Count, I am working as quickly as I can. The... the body, as you can see, is in, shall we say, less than desirable conditions. It is prepared to function as a vessel for your soul, but at this precise moment, I cannot guarantee that the vulnerability you sought to exercise has been excised?
I would be lying if I said I was not disappointed in you, Dr. Jekyll. I understand that you are doing your best. It was perhaps a bit much of me to expect the best of someone better.
I... If I had but more time or more funding, the people of this city, they give what they can, but...
And Dracula is going to approach the body with a slight bit of shakiness in his step. He glitches in between the material and ethereal planes momentarily.
Woo!
And
what's going
clutches
on?
At his chest
Wartenberg.
And says, unfortunately, Doctor, time is a luxury I no longer have. I would hazard a guess that the soul of the Baron Vordenburg has roughly 24 hours of fight left in it.
Oh, no shit!
Before it is disintegrated. So if the body is ready for transportation, I will begin the ritual. I will afford you more opportunities than I probably should.
Ooh, that stings.
If you can do a better job at displaying your usefulness to me, then I would like you to travel to the Church of St. Mary in Fairstead in order to ensure that when my coffin arrives there, that it successfully takes its place at the grave marker of the Countess Milarka Garnstein.
Rude.
I trust that everything shall arrive there on its own, but I would like to make special note of that grave marker. Can I entrust you with that, Doctor?
You can certainly count on me.
Oh my God! Oh my God.
And then he kills him. And then just like that, he's dead.
I like him. I love him. No notes. Love it. He's great.
Oh, I... I see. A play on words, as it were. Please refrain from that in the future.
My lord, I've been told that unpacking the joke sort of sours it.
Bob, I would like you to roll perception.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, wait, no, that's good. That's fine.
I'll let him. No, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. No, he doesn't need to.
We've actually already got a new party member. This is wild.
Yeah. Was it you that said it, Aaron, of just like, oh, look, he's dead?
Oh, that's very good. That is a 22.
No. Oh, he's better than me.
No.
Dracula will sigh, turn his attention towards the body, and say, I suppose, now that I cannot depend on Mr. Renfield anymore, that this is the best I can do.
Oh.
Help me prepare the body. And you will notice with your 22 perception, you will feel a slight chill in the room as he says the name Mr. Renfield. And you'll notice a very brief
reflection in the gurney of a spectral presence flickering a switch.
But you don't actually have to say anything.
Don't worry about that. Nothing important. Just say it. No, you don't have to.
And as that switch is flipped, the hatch opens up on the bottom floor.
Dan, can I look in the direction of that reflection to see if I notice anything more happening?
As you look where the reflection would be, you don't see anything there.
And Dracula in this moment is wanting me to help him with the body, so moving away from the body would be a social faux pas?
I would say that's a fair assumption.
Okay, then I will have something to prepare for later.
Ooh, I don't like that.
All right, and back on the ground floor, the hatch opens up.
Heck yeah.
Hey, he did it, and I swing it open.
All right, whoever wants to go into the basement...
Well, we've got Mary and Imhotep on Smash Smash duty, right?
I was going to say.
If at all possible, Larry was showing us the POV from Renfield, right?
Yeah, you were all privy to that information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. I assume you were all privy to that information. That's up to Larry.
Mine or mine? Hey. No, I was absolutely sharing.
You were all very busy doing other things, more interesting things in this very interesting room you all find yourselves in.
It's very interesting, you're right.
In this empty room that is nothing but stairs.
Look at the stairs, count them, know them.
I will not count stairs. You can't make me.
Me and Jack are in the corner playing the Pokemon trading card game. It's like, man, this card game is going to be great in 100 plus years.
Larry. Did you hear that? One of his coffins is going to be back at Malarka's graveyard.
Yeah. And apparently soon with the body. Do you think... I'm 90% sure that was the body that Victor was working on originally.
I didn't recognize any distinguishing features, but... Oh, crap. I wonder if everyone's okay.
You mean the one that the Gorn tried to inhabit?
Well, there was... When we first entered the castle, Raynor was there and teleported away with the first version of the body, and then...
That's right.
Gorn wanted us to do a redo.
That's true, he did. What is it the kids say today? Gives me the... I don't know, the sick? The ick? I don't know.
Yeah, there's something that Dracula wants to do with that body... Presumably at the cathedral. So, that might be our
Didn't
next...
Didn't Carmilla also say that she was the one who turned Dracula into a vampire?
Yeah, but then he took her blood, so now...
I believe so.
From what we understand from vampires, he should be a full vampire now. Like, he's no longer a spawn.
He's no longer a spawn, and he has a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know why Dracula wants to have the soul?
There is probably enough information that's been established that you could piece it together, but it hasn't been said outright yet.
I would say in this moment, Jack is going to let Mary and Imhotep head down there to take care of business, and I'd like to hide up in a corner and hopefully hide while going through notes and going through the journal in whatever time that I have.
All right, he's in the corner now. Larry, I was going to ask Jack this, but he fucked off and he's looking a little... I mean, you know what he looks like over there. Did you hear papers shuffling madly? Anyway, I am aware of a certain X factor that I bring into rooms with me. Do you think I should go with him, or do you think I should just go break the box?
I think... Mary and Imhotep have it handled, but I can tell this is going to be a really intense time for Jack, so I think he needs backup here.
I agree. All the support he can get. Also, I didn't realize that Jekyll was the third stringer. I'm piecing together now that Victor was probably the second stringer. This is really embarrassing for that guy.
Right, now that you mention it... Kind of last one picked on the dodgeball team, right?
Yeah, actually, I haven't been to my mailbox in a while. I messed with magnesium once. I could have been invited. I don't know.
But yeah, I think we should be on Team Back Jack.
Agreed. When do we, when do we interrupt that? And then a phantom slowly looks over at the hunched over, feral looking Jack going through like notebooks and papers.
Red string everywhere.
He's starting to like pull out his hair and like you could see it like starting to stand up and kind of like look a little crazily, almost like Doc Brown.
You know, Larry, I'm starting to think magic is easier than this science shit. Like, what the hell?
Right. It's taken a lot out of him. I think maybe we should head over there before he's bald.
Okay, Jack! Go, Jack!
While you guys are upstairs having this great debate about where to go and all this stuff, Imhotep and Mary are walking upstairs like, ting, smashy, smash, it's great, right? Super easy, no hard decisions here, right?
No hard decisions.
So, like, I think the hardest decision I need to decide if I'm going to use a spell or I'm going to hit the thing with my sword. I mean, like, it's not hard.
You just see box, you break box, you leave. It's quick in, out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Although we got to be careful. There's a little bit of pushback, so we might want to, like, dig it a little.
That would be fine.
Actually, this is a great opportunity. I want to see you use that new sword you got.
Hold out the Hellraiser. Like this? I'm excited.
Yeah, can you set that on fire? I mean, with a name like Hellraiser, it sounds like you could, but I don't know.
You'd think so. It does a lot of necrotic damage.
Oh, okay. We'll figure it out.
God, I love them.
Those two have been on a team more often than not, and it's been fun.
It's such a weird dynamic, but it works so well.
All right, so for the two of you, as you make your way into this basement, it's basically a large storage room. There's a lot of boxes and crates everywhere, and a coffin of Dracula.
You want to do the honors?
Dan, can I do like an arcana or something to see if there's some sort of a spell or something on here that'll be bad if we just immediately go in for the smashing?
Yeah, go ahead and roll arcana.
My roll was a 15.
With a 15, the coffin does need to be burned. It was basically being smashed and letting off fumes and setting the fumes on fire that caused it to explode the last time. In this room, there seems to be, through the storage, a fair amount of volatile substances.
Okay.
So it might be dangerous to set it aflame down here. That being said, you do see some equipment sticking out of some of these crates and boxes and a few, like, vials and potions.
Okay.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Maybe. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we pull a page from Jack's book and do some loot first before we do some smashing.
I think that might not be a bad idea.
Both of you roll investigation.
Yay! 14.
16.
You find a bomb.
Oh.
So you both find, sticking out from one of these crates, some diluted oil of sharpness.
Okay.
So go ahead and add that to your inventory. What it will do, basically, it is an oil that you can apply to a weapon that will last for 10 minutes. It'll add a +1 to attack and damage for 10 minutes to that weapon.
Ooh!
Cool. All right. I look over to Imhotep, is like, this is probably going to become useful for us soon.
It will, but I think we should get Big Box out of here somehow. We should be a little bit prudent with, not blowing up the entire tower.
Yeah, that'd be wise.
Do you think you can lift it?
I'm pretty sure I can, yeah, but I just want to take a quick once over at first just to make sure I don't trigger anything.
No roll required. You're not going to set anything off by moving the coffin.
Yay, I lift it up and I haul it outside.
So, pulling the coffin out of the basement full of volatile substances and into just the ground floor of Big Ben, it is ready to be destroyed.
Also, I just want to make sure I close the hatch to make sure that no embers go inside.
Very smart.
He's going to lift up his sword, brandish it, do a little bit of a flourish, and I'm going to cast a green flame blade on it, and he's going to just dig it in to the wood and let the green flame blade spell do its thing and just start to spread the fire across the coffin.
All right. So as you plunge the flaming sword into the coffin, it begins to collapse and incinerate into ash around you, letting off a cloud of necrosis that wafts up through the clock tower. And you can see through your GoPro footage from Renfield.
Oh, shit.
Hey, guys, this is still on.
As the spirit of Renfield is still hunkering in the corner, keeping an eye on Dracula and Jekyll, who have finished preparing the body for transport.
Oh, damn it.
The necrosis cloud wafts up through the floor, circles around Dracula, who sharply stands up at attention and backs away from the table. And he is going to hurriedly look over to Dr. Jekyll, look towards the staircase, and begin to move towards it before stopping and glitching in and out of the ethereal and material planes. Doubling over sharply, he is going to turn and look to Jekyll and say to him, "Change of plans, Doctor. This is your opportunity to prove yourself, to potentially take the reins as my new familiar.
Oh.
Should you prove resilient enough to survive, then come to Warwick Castle and help me with the ritual." And he will disappear into a puff of smoke and sharply bolt upwards to the top of the tower. And all of you will feel a rumble around you as steel barriers come down over the doors. And from the GoPro footage that you're seeing from Renfield, the laboratory begins to shake. And you can see off in the corners of each of these rooms, there are these tanks that have this very scientific-looking liquid and fluid that has a whole bunch of volunteers suspended within them.
As all those barriers drop, Imhotep kind of looks around and goes, "Hey, Mary?
Yeah?
I think we did a boo-boo."
And as you say, "I think we did a boo-boo,"
you can feel a surge of energy spike.
In previous incarnations, this would have completely incapacitated you.
Oh, no.
As the entire tower floods with an anti-magic field.
Oh, no! Oh, shit!
And the footage begins to flicker out. And the last things you see are... I will turn this over to you, Fob, in a moment for you to narrate how you react to all of this. But in those tanks surrounding you, they begin to bubble and surge as the water seems to boil each of these volunteers that one by one begin to vanish as they get completely overtaken by the bubbles.
Uh-oh.
And become invisible.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Begin to come back into sight as you can see pressed up against the glass, their hands and fists pounding and scraping and clawing at the glass as the skin begins to bubble up from beneath. It begins to stretch and expand and get discolored.
Ooh.
And one by one, you see these hands grasp at the glass and slowly drag downward as the tips of their fingers remain in place, but the base of their hands continue to descend. They begin to bubble up with pustules and warts that slowly change the coloration of the skin. The hands extend into talons, and pressure begins to accumulate as the tanks begin to crack.
Oh.
And emerging one by one, the humanoid forms of these volunteers spill out.
Oh,
look
my
at these.
Oh, God.
Oh, don't bring these, Dan.
The next stretch, the skin becomes slimy, displaces, and sloughs downward as they scream and bellow, shooting their necks upward, their throats expanding as the bellows and screams get caught in their throats, and stumbling and bursting out of each of these tanks they spasm to the ground, bubbling up, boiling over, taking the form of these very amphibioid, frog-like monstrosities.
Frogs?
Oh, no.
So I will turn this over to you, Fob, how you react as emerging from each of these tanks, a discolored red, blue, green, and gray half man, half frog crawl to their feet.
Do I understand what, let's say, us going into lockdown signifies? Like what must have happened in order for that to occur?
Yes, you would know.
Okay.
You would also know a thing that I did not call attention to before. One of these tanks, before everything went down, was already destroyed from the inside out and empty.
I know that we all, like above table, I know what these are, but does Jekyll know the name for these, or are these just the Knights of Dracul?
These are just the Knights of Dracul. The monster manual name for these creatures is largely insignificant.
Then my joke about amphibian rangers doesn't make much sense, but
still go ahead and make it, because I'm very curious now.
Oh, that's fair.
Go, go, froggy rangers, indeed.
Froggy rangers?
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't think we needed any other context. That is perfect.
Nope, that was good.
Okay.
I am glad I asked.
Let's see. To me, Knights of Dracul, I believe we have some interlopers below.
Roll persuasion.
Oh, good. Uh-oh. I thought they just listened to him.
I just assumed so too.
With disadvantage.
Oh.
I was going to say good, and then I looked at my character sheet, and I mean bad. Dan, are you sure it's with disadvantage? Because the first one's an 18.
No, I'm sure. And I'm sure.
Okay. The second one is a 4, but with my bonus, it's a 4 still.
So with a 4, they each take a step closer towards you, then hesitate.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And then will disperse on their own.
Oh.
The hulking blue mass will leap onto the wall, scale away, climbing through the roof. The gray one will hunch down, shoot out their arms, and spasm in pain as bubbling out from the skin beneath, webbed glider wings.
Oh, no.
That's cool.
Emerge.
That's what they needed to be able to fly. Yeah, for sure.
And it will run up to the stairs, grab the wall, and begin to slide down, leaping out and gliding over the lower floor.
Use the stairs, damn it. The enemy of our enemy is our friend.
The green amphibian hybrid creature is going to look at you, begin to bellow, and its skin will glisten as it bit by bit through its sweat particulates begins to slowly shimmer out of visibility.
No.
And then the red one is going to leap down the stairs.
Yeah!
2 out of 3 isn't so bad.
Inspiration, Fob.
Oh, thank you.
No!
Don't give him inspiration.
Yes!
I counted wrong, but that still gets me inspiration. I'll take it.
So, for everyone else, in order to make this not an instant death sentence, the accommodations that I will make for you all for the anti-magic field, Phantom, you can still use Bardic Inspiration and your Singing Sword.
Okay, thank you.
Larry, your Reaping Scythe will still work.
Nice.
Your spell casting and your card of the day will not.
Well, good thing it was picked for flavor.
Mary, all of your barbarian stuff still works. Your paladin stuff is inhibited.
Okay, what about my javelin of lightning? Does that still work or no?
The javelin will still work as a javelin. Summoning the bolt of lightning will not.
Sounds good.
Imhotep, your spellcasting will be completely inhibited.
Okay.
The Hellraiser will still work.
So Imhotep is just standing there doing the whole dramatic, you know, the camera sweeping around him sort of thing, looking up and watching as everything is about to go awry. And then as soon as it all reaches the very top, all of his bandages suddenly drop. He's like, hey, whoa! He feels like he's put on like 10 pounds because the bandages for the first time aren't floating. And he's just like, And like the ones that are wrapped around the wing have all come undone and they're just like tangling around his feet. And he's just like kicking and dancing around them. Just like, I've never had to do this before. And just kind of awkwardly adjusting. He bundles up the bandages that like go from his back and just flings them over his shoulder, like looking like the, I hate to use description, it looks like Sesshomaru's tail.
Oh my god.
Flopped over his shoulder.
Sick.
And though that's him. He's just got these things just like wrapped two times around him, like a sash going across his body now.
All right. So I'll assume that most of my anything that would be magical is just, oh, that means my coat of billowing doesn't work.
That's right. Yeah. So your Spider-Man noir, ever-present, cool, flowing wind disappears and it goes right back to being just a normal coat.
Oh, that's... You know what? Let's leave, guys. We're done here.
I don't think we can.
As all of this is happening simultaneously, you get those last little bits of footage through the scrying card, and then the feed flickers out.
Well, Eric, I think we spoke too soon about the magic stuff. And Larry's gonna try and do an Eldritch Blast and just like... Yeah, I got nothing.
Larry, I know that it's distinctly possible we might be about to be killed by the Froggy Rangers, but...
Oh, no.
How do you feel? If you can't cast magic, doesn't that mean that in this moment, at least, you're just you? You get to be alone?
Oh. Yeah, Dan, how's that affected?
It's an interesting question. I would say that you still faintly feel the presence of the wolf, but it is far more muted than you are used to.
And Larry's going to kind of take a look at his hands and reflect for a second. And then he's going to grab his cane and put his hand on top of it and like barely feel the burn. Well, now that you mention it, I kind of feel a little better. I mean, it's not gone completely, but... Huh.
Try to enjoy it. Anyway, Jack, save us! Jack, save us! Save us, Jack.
Jack's just got all these papers spread out all over the floor, up against the wall in the corner. He's got the book open and hasn't even noticed that security measures have come into play. Kind of turns over his shoulder. What happened?
Oh, God. Larry, you want to take this one? No, actually, Imhotep, Mary, you want to explain? You want to explain what happened?
In the middle of something, you see him, like I say, he's in the process of, like, wrapping his bindings up. His gross wing is just flopping out there, exposed.
Wait, has that chicken wing always been there?
Well, recently.
Won't say always, but there enough that you're surprised you didn't notice it. He's very much just uninterested in just getting his stupid wrappings all situated.
Jack, I think we are going to, heavily be relying on you moving forward.
Why?
Do you remember your world before you met all of us wonderful, delightful, amazing people?
You mean the world of just science and logic and when things 100% made sense to me?
Mm-hmm. We're there now! Yay! Woo! It's Yay! Awful.
I think what Eric is trying to say is that we don't have our magic anymore.
Oh, great. Well, at least Imhotep hasn't fallen apart like last time.
Yeah.
What do you think you guys can do? Or
we can rely on you.
You guys have never put that much pressure on me before, so it's a little intimidating, but I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Let me try something. I throw my javelin and try to summon it back.
Phantom flinches when you throw the javelin.
Oh, yeah.
And it stays in place.
Yep, okay. So that's just a regular javelin now.
Welcome to my world.
Maybe I shouldn't be asking this, but I feel like I should. Would the oil of blade sharpness, sharpening, sharpie metal, sharp stuff, would that work now?
Yes.
I wish I had said nothing.
Potion and elixir type things will still work.
Mm.
Everyone remember that I gave you that?
I believe you also gave yourself that potion slash elixir type things.
Who has any of those? Who could have any of those in their inventory? I just have clothes, comma, fine.
All right. Well, you guys destroyed the coffin, and I'm assuming that all of this was triggered. So now we got to figure out how to untrigger it and also raise the lockdown procedure, I guess.
Yeah, you got right up to speed.
And the spirit of Renfield is going to descend back and swoop towards the amulet and is going to say along the way down,
"The security controls are on the top floor.
Fuck!
Try not to die in the meantime."
We'll try our best.
Dad.
Well, as the obvious tank of the party, I'm going to start up the stairs.
Well, I guess today is as good as any day to start leg day, and I just go up the stairs.
Running up.
How far is the top?
After this first incline, each corner is 20 feet higher than the previous.
Awesome. So Jack, being at the bottom still, is really refusing to climb any stairs. He'll pull out his grappling gun, aim it at the corner of the one that's at 50 feet, fire away, and use a bonus action to pull himself up.
All right, and you grapple up to the corner and make your way 50 feet up.
Oh, yay! Cool,
more stairs!
Can I see another area in which I can continue this procedure?
Hey, Dan, by the time we make it to this map, how many floors have we gone? How many flights of stairs?
You are currently 70 feet high in this bottom corner.
Hmm.
Oh, it's not that bad. We're fine.
As you continue to make your way up, everyone roll a d20 for luck.
Oh, goody. I do want to ask, as we're going up the stairs, as we're kind of jogging up, Eric, you asked me how I'm feeling, and I don't know how your magic works, but I imagine it's a lot more friendly. How are you doing?
I'm not happy, Lawrence. This power of mine, I discovered it at a point where I most needed it, and it has carried me. One of the great talents that I use to justify, you know, the consequences of my actions sometimes. I make great contributions to the world. And it is uncommon for me to be prevented from doing so.
Well, hopefully we'll get it back quickly, but I just want you to know, we do appreciate you more than just your magical talents.
Well, cool. I don't so much, but cool, thanks.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure somebody's got to tell you that.
So with an average luck of 15, you see a dark pair of milky eyes.
Gross.
Looking at you from the corner that disappear into the shadows. And those eyes don't seem to match any of the froggy rangers that you had seen before, but they quickly fade away as, bounding down the stairs before you, the red froggy ranger.
Perfect. Take out the leader first. This is Sun Tzu written all over it.
Let's go, froggy ranger.
And everyone roll initiative.
God damn it.
And in the meantime, I'm going to cut to Fob. Jekyll, you feel the hairs on the back of your neck bristle as you can see those milky eyes staring at you now.
Oh, no.
I wonder if it's our old friend.
Ooh.
Yep, it's your old friend. It's your old friend. That's Roger. I remember him from the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Roger. Yeah.
The eyes we saw in the darkness, right? Were they, like, attached to the wall? The stone wall, by chance?
I think it has to do with the broken capsule.
Oh, is that something familiar to us or to Jekyll? Mm.
Not familiar to you. Really?
Okay, well, there goes my idea of being igneous and or sandstone.
Yeah, I do miss those guys.
Which the walls are now steel,
okay, so it would not have been igneous or sandstone. Oopsie doodle, I made a boo-boo.
Making a habit of it.
How dare you?
Easily, I'll do it again.
Good.
These eyes, followed by an enlarged, engorged, black-skinned amphibian human hybrid with several spiky bone growths protruding from the shoulders and back, as the body of why fight it at this point? The Black Froggy Ranger.
Heck yeah!
I'm so sorry for doing this.
As the Black Ranger compulsively investigates the original broken tank, staring at that before staring at you and slowly lumbering towards you.
No. I would like to do a thing. Hold, please.
Are they not friends? I thought they were friends.
We're sounding a little mixed.
I know. I'm confused.
If they are not, hey-o, enemy of my enemy, per se.
I mean, then it just kind of becomes like, try and survive while maybe they go after Jekyll.
That seems rude. Thank you, Tan. So, I would like to straighten up and hold out an arm and say, halt, fool. If I can somehow make this intimidation, that would be very nice for me.
Go ahead and roll intimidation.
Thank you.
That's what I was worried
Someone's
about.
Someone's totally not a Disney villain when they say the word fool. Love that.
Dan, I got a 33.
What? I'm sorry, you got a fucking...
Someone's got nerd rage.
Oh, buddy.
Well, unfortunately, the DC was 34, but...
Damn it!
Oh, shit!
No, a 33 will absolutely work. So, I actually probably should not be throwing out those kinds of jokes at this stage.
That's fair.
So, it will stop in place. It will narrow its eyes, and as it's approaching, it hears your command. It stops. Its mouth slowly drops open, and its tongue slowly starts to flit like a snake, sensing the air.
Not yet. And I point to the stairs leading up, and I say, go play with your friends.
And it will, without breaking eye contact, will begin to gurgle, take a few steps away, and will fade back into the shadows, with the last thing to disappear being the milky white eyes.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like that. No.
And then none of you see this because you no longer have your voyeuristic phantasm around, but the camera would see Hyde.
Oh, shit.
Clutch themselves and go, oh. As though they're in some sort of pain. And I think I will then busy myself with my lab equipment. I know that I don't have a whole lot of time.
All right. So with that, Grayson, it is your turn.
Okay, well, at the risk of sounding vanilla.
Delicious.
Hey, Mary, you want to get up here?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Actually... Real quickly, Mary, how ready do you feel? Like, are you going to be ready in, like, the next couple seconds, or...
6 seconds.
I see giant frog things. Sword's already out, bud.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, Jack is just going to pull out his crossbow and just make a regular attack.
Okay, go ahead and roll to hit.
19 plus 7, so 26.
26 will hit.
Alrighty. That's going to be 7 damage on him.
All right.
After firing off his crossbow, he's going to scuttle away behind Mary.
The stairs are difficult terrain.
Okay.
Oh, of course they are. Good to know.
Would I be able to, like, jump over Mary? Or
With an athletics check.
I'll roll for it, sure. Oh, come on. Well, it's a 16 because it's a minus 1.
With a 16, yeah, I'll say you can scramble over Mary.
Sweet.
You are at enough of an incline.
Yeah.
Your foot will get caught on him, so you will land disgracefully, but you can make the jump.
It gets caught on my little neck bolt.
Oh. So he goes for a jump, and his foot, like, gets caught on the neck bolt, and then you just kind of see him, like, tumble down the stairs just a little bit.
Mary, that's like the equivalent of hitting your funny bone.
I'm like, tingling. Oh, ooh. I don't like that feeling.
Sorry.
Oh. That's not going to deal you any damage. It's just going to be real unpleasant.
Feel your whole spine vibrate.
Sorry.
No, you're fine, Jack. You're fine. Oh.
With Mary in front of me now, would I be able to hide?
Not this turn.
But can you Jekyll?
All right, so Larry, it is your turn.
It's me. I can't really do much.
You can Jekyll.
I could Jekyll. I think I might need to take the dodge action unless I want to run up. I don't even think I can reach this thing if I dashed. Yeah, all right. We're going to hold tight, take the dodge action. I think for the first time in this podcast.
Holy crap. Yeah. I forgot that was a thing.
So taking the dodge action, any attacks against you will have disadvantage to hit, and you will have advantage on dexterity saving throws until your next turn.
Thank you. I'll need that.
Crap, I gotta remember that.
I've got no ranged attacks, and I'm too far away, even with a dash, to get there. So hunkering down, holding tight.
All right. So now it is the Red Ranger's turn, and the Red Ranger is going to squat and leap at Mary.
Okay.
It has a multi-attack, so it's going to make one bite and two claw attacks. The bite is a 15, so that will not hit.
No, it does not. He tries to bite, and I just put my shield in front and just, like, bounce it back.
Then, with the claws, that is a 10 and a 18, 19, 20, 21.
Okay, the 21 hits.
So, as it attempts to bite you, you bash it out of the way with the shield. It makes a claw attack that it misses while it is still reeling from the shield. The other claw will hit, and the talon digs underneath your skin, going between some of the seams. And you feel a small lump emerge under the skin.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, no.
As ejecting from a gland beneath the talon, a tadpole swims beneath the surface of the skin.
Excuse you!
And latches on to the underside of your arm. You will need to make a constitution saving throw.
Gross! Oh. Everything about this is gross!
Okay, con saving throw.
No, it's a 9!
Oh, you die!
With a 9, that tadpole will take hold. It will latch to the metal endoskeleton that runs through your arm.
Oh, no!
And a small lump will sustain itself beneath the surface of your arm. You will also take a D8 of piercing damage.
Okay. Well, at least that's halved.
So that is 5 halved. That's going to round down to 2. So you take 2 damage.
Okay.
But you are infected with a parasite.
No.
How do I get this parasite out of me?
We gotta do surgery.
The current group of people on this floor do not have the capability of doing so.
Okay.
I mean, I'd be happy to help.
Hey, best friend.
Hi, best friend.
Oh, no.
And you wanted to kill me, and you wanted to kill me.
I said no such thing. Well.
And then it will end its turn by leaping over the edge of the barrier, grabbing onto the wall, and scuttling away out of sight.
What?
And you are out of combat.
Hate that.
That was gross, and I did not like any of it.
Ow, ew, get out. And I am slamming my arm on the handrails on the wall, just smacking it.
Could I grab Mary's arm while he's doing this and, like, try and examine, you know, it's like, if there is any immediate effects that this thing has caused to him other than being gross and uncomfortable?
Go ahead and roll medicine.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Is he going to turn it into a froggy ranger?
We're missing pink and yellow.
Oh, no!
That is 16.
With a 16, there are no immediate detrimental effects, but you can tell that this parasite is in early stages of gestation.
No! Gross!
So he's going to kind of grab Mary's arm as he's slamming it and hold it and be like, Mary, calm down.
It's not great, but we need to get this situation handled. And once we have our magic, we can handle that situation. For now, try and stay calm about the gross, slimy, wiggly thing inside your body.
Dan?
Yes?
Permission to roll a d20?
Go for it.
Okay, 11 or higher, I'm going to do the stupid thing. 10 or lower, I'm going to listen to Imhotep.
Larry's like leaning over the guardrail.
17. He is half listening to Imhotep. And Mary is just like, no. I don't like this. I don't, no. And he breaks away from the arm, grabs his sword, and tries to cut into his skin to get it out.
Amputate.
No! Imhotep reaches out to stop him and goes, wait a minute, you made a patchwork. Go ahead, cut it off. We'll put it back on later.
I mean, some of the skin is attached, organs and bones and stuff are like a whole piece, but I'm not letting this thing stay in here and call my body its home.
If I may, Mary, it looks like that's pretty horrible. I don't think, based on what we saw through untrustworthy, spooky, I hate him, Renfield's, scrying, is that... Look... You've all bullied me a little bit, and I recognize that behavior from Dracula to the other doctor. Why don't we let Jack and him talk it out? I think the two of them being sciency, I think that we can communicate. Not everything has to be violence.
As you're saying this, I'm still cutting into my arm.
Stop.
Deal a longsword attack's worth of damage to yourself. Cut in half because of your resistance.
Okay.
Dan, while all this is going on, do I hear this? From the stairwell?
They are close enough to your floor that you would hear at least bits and pieces of this.
Okay.
I don't think we're being quiet.
No, definitely not.
Total damage is a 5. Would cut that in half, would that be a 3 or a 2?
We just rounded down a 5 to 2, so we'll do that again. Severing the patch of skin, you can see loosely underneath that this thing has burrowed into the bone. And it fixed itself there.
As Larry's like nearly hurling over the edge of this railing, he's like, Eric has a point. Let's go speak to the doctors. Please, let's just go. Let's just go speak to the doctors.
All right. So as Mary digs into his skin, or digs into, and he sees that the parasite's deep and he can't get it, he finally hears what both Larry, Eric, and Imhotep have to say, and just gives the most exacerbated sigh, and sheathes his sword, puts the patchwork back to what he can, and he's like, rips part of his shirt again to wrap his arm around.
You're gonna rip the T-Rex shirt?
It's a sleeveless T-Rex shirt now.
Boom. Sick.
Yeah, he rips a bit of the T-shirt so you can still see the T-Rex, and he wraps it around his arm, and he winces a little bit because he can feel the little tadpole bastard in his skin. He's just like, I really, really don't want you to waste a spell on me. Oh, wait, you can't even do that now. Never mind. You know what? None of you can even hold me back. I'm way stronger than all of you physically. Oh, let's just get this damn thing over with.
I think, Mary, as you say that, you see standing at the top of the stairs, kind of like cleaning their hands with a white cloth that's getting like a little bit dirtied. You see Dr. Henry Jekyll had watched some of this and looks down at you all and says, come this way. I can help. And walks away, like, up the stairs and into his domain.
And I'm assuming you follow.
Yup!
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We are the outcasts, the misfits, you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly
be bright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Mo, CJ, The OG Phantom, The Lone One VA, and Leninc13. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini-campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode was Aaron Coffle as Eric, the Phantom of the Opera, Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy, Jordan Nelson as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, Ben Magnet as Mary, the Frankenstein Monster, and Grayson Norman as Jack Griffin, formerly the Invisible Man. This episode also featured Fabrice from the Dread and Breakfast podcast as Dr. Henry Jekyll and Mr. Edward Hyde. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Additional music this episode was provided by Cloud Road Music. Listen to new episodes Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
I've developed a plan to defeat Jekyll that's flawless. I will order 75 Supreme Pizzas to Fabrice's real house.
I mean, that would work.
He'd be too distracted to be evil.
Too much of a tummy ache.
And welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I'm your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for. And to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show.